Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Dante Marcatelli.
It's clear after two games and a couple of practices, Terrence Ross is a good basketball player. You know, and we're excited about adding him to our team. And, you know, he just does a variety of things well, starting with having speed and athleticism on a defensive end.
You know, first game, you know, it's kind of unexpected. You don't know what to expect when you're playing. So second game, I kind of just felt a little more comfortable with the plays and, you know, with the tendencies of the other players. So,
you know, for the first time in a while, you know, I feel like we have fun. Everybody had fun on the court. I had fun even though I didn't play well. So that's really the positive thing, I think.
How about that? Love the comments from everyone involved there, especially Evan Fournier. Magic win over the weekend on Saturday. They defeat the Atlanta Hawks 105-86. Next up will be the New York Knicks on Wednesday night. They come in town. We hit the air at 6:30 on Fox Sports Florida, 6:30 on the Magic Radio Network. Dante Marcatelli here with you. This is Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Aaron Berlin is our producer in the Magic Studios. Again, the Magic with the win over Atlanta. Terrence Ross with 24. That is one off a season high. The team is having fun again. This could be an exciting 22 games as we close out the 2016-2017 season. Lots to get to today on the program, and we are going to do that with Jeff Turner, who joins us, my colleague from Fox Sports Florida. He calls all games alongside David Steele, and he'll be next up on Wednesday against the New York Knicks. JT, how are you, sir?
I am good, Dante. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. I'm excited to have you here.
Time off, though, isn't it? I mean, let's get a game going.
I know. You've already had two consecutive nights off. We don't know what to do with ourselves here.
Exactly. But,
So before we get into the Magic, I know you had your guy Denny Hamlin on the broadcast a couple of weeks ago, right? Unfortunately, he comes in 17th in the Daytona 500. I know you were cheering him on. Did you get to watch the race, and what did you think of another exciting finish, JT?
I did get to watch it. I was amazed at talk about aggressive drivers. Man, there were so many accidents, and I was glad Denny just survived. I mean, he limped in with a car that had been two altercations and was able to go. But it was kind of like the last man standing at the end. And good to see Kurt Busch cross the line in that one.
Well, now you and I, JT, we host a number of these events throughout the year. It could be with season ticket holders, or I can't imagine getting up there and announcing the Rich and Helen DeVos Community Enrichment Award winner and getting it wrong. We can sympathize with what they had to go through on that last announcement, JT.
Live television, live hosting, Dante. We know anything can go wrong. You just kind of have to be quick on your feet, don't you?
There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. That's what makes it a lot of fun, and that's why we enjoy what we do. Now, speaking with Jeff Turner, all right, let's get your thoughts on what you heard from Evan Fournier. I thought that was a very interesting comment, and I was thinking that along the game. I don't know if you were as well. I was enjoying watching them. It was fun to watch, and it seemed like they were having fun. Well, what did you make of Evan's comment? Looked like they were having fun again.
I think it's very telling, Dante. You know, it's interesting. When you look at putting teams together and pieces and you try to put them all together, people forget that sometimes there's a chemistry component to all this. Do guys get along? Do they have fun playing together? I mean, maybe this is because of the newness. We don't know for sure, but just watching the guys interact with one another, whether it's in practice, shoot around, or even in the games, it just seems like there's something special going on. That's not to say that Serge was a problem, but whatever reason, it just wasn't working. We didn't see them react to each other and just have fun like we saw, I think, even the last two games.
Yeah, you're right. And one thing I love about Ross, he's not shy, is he? We know that. With his debut, he gets up 14 shots. He was 4 of 17, much more manageable, 10 of 15 from the floor. What is your early impression, Ben? I know it's just a small sample size with these two games, but it's exciting. They seem to have a lot of quickness, and there seems to be another playmaker and shot maker on the floor in the fourth quarter of games now.
Yeah, I think Coach Vogel hit it in that little bit. He's very athletic, but he's fast. I mean, he really covers a lot of ground, and I think we're all a little bit surprised, Dante. I mean, we knew that he was athletic. We knew he could shoot the three, the long ball. I think we've been very pleased, pleasantly surprised, if you will, that he's got the ability to get into the lane. He's very unselfish. He tries to find the next available guy. And he's got a nice mid-range game. At least we saw a little bit of that. He was knocking down that 15-footer in the game the other night. So I like the early returns we've got from Mr. Ross. Yeah.
Do you think it's just – I know he was playing behind DeMar DeRozan largely. His numbers were pretty good when DeMar was out and he had to fill in. Why do you think never really got that opportunity or took that next big step in Toronto, and how big is this opportunity for him now?
Well, sometimes, Dante, I think what happens is, you know, when you're in the NBA, sometimes you get pigeonholed a little bit or stereotyped as this is what you are. You know, he's been with that Toronto team for what, 4.5 years, and he was that role player. He was that guy they could count on coming off the bench. Those are important pieces to have, and was never. You know, never really at a later stage the last couple of years given the opportunity to be a, 30-minute-plus guy. So I think for him, this opportunity, he's really kind of, you know, taking advantage of it. And, you know, I think the guys, you know, when you have a guy that comes out and plays as hard as we've seen Terrence Ross do, I think they respect that and they enjoy playing alongside of him.
Can you think of a time where you guys added someone? I remember when Darrell Armstrong came to you guys at the end of a season, and he was full court press and practice, right? Guys were annoyed with him. But can that new life, that new blood, can that infuse some new life into you down the stretch?
Oh, I think absolutely. There's no question about that. I think, you know, if you get the right players, and, you know, it's interesting, Coach Vogel talking very honestly that now we've got the pieces, everybody's in their correct position.
Right.
You know, kind of talking a little bit, and that's Aaron Gordon being at the four. You know, T. Ross is playing the two. I don't know if people are realizing that much, but he is playing and defending the two. That moves Evan Fournier more to the three spot defensively. We saw last year Evan playing the three alongside Victor Oladipo, and Evan had a lot of success. So I think what's happening is not only the infusion of energy from T. Ross, I think the staff and the players are reaching a comfort level by everybody, in Coach Vogel's word, being in the right spots.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point. Speaking with Jeff Turner from Fox Sports Florida, I want to get into Aaron Gordon maybe on the next segment, because I thought you and Brian both brought up great points about Aaron Gordon now at the four and how he looks offensively and defensively. But you mentioned the offense. What's different now? I know, again, not to pile all of this on Serge, but Serge is a big, and they do seem to be quicker now. They seem to be faster. There seem to be more lanes, JT. What do you make of this new-look offense right now?
Well, I think that the big thing is you've added another ball handler, playmaker.
Right.
Serge was terrific. You know, one of the things that when Serge came, we talked about was having a stretch four, a guy that could spread the floor. He did those things. He rebounded. You know, he shot blocked. He did those things for us. But it still kind of clogged things up in the middle. He liked to run the floor and get down in the post a little bit, and he was not a guy that could put it on the floor and create for others. That's just not his thing.
Right.
What's happened now is I think the offense is a little bit more spread out. You've got another penetrator, a guy, Coach Vogel calls it, you know, scoring off the bounce and getting in and creating space for people. So I think that's kind of been fun to watch, and I think the guys are adapting to it well. When you have space in the middle, driving lanes for guys, I think it just makes everybody a little bit better, particularly the guys we have in on our roster right now. It seems to fit them, at least this group, you know, early. We've only got a two-game sample, but what we've seen so far, it seems to fit this group very well.
And you know what, JT, it's interesting to, you know, we know about the guys you mentioned, the ball handlers and the guys that can spread the floor and knock down threes, but this has opened things up tremendously for Nick Vucevic. He got 20 shot attempts against the Portland Trailblazers. He gets 15 more against Dwight Howard in the Atlanta Hawks. How does that that system, that offense that they're running now, how does that free things up more for Vooch to do what he does best?
Well, now you've got a situation for Vooch. Now, when he comes out and sets a pick and roll, high pick and roll, for instance, now that drive, you know, on that roll, when he rolls to the basket, there's not really another big in there. Aaron Gordon's usually out spacing, or he can rotate to different spots. When you throw it to Vooch in the post, you know, obviously they've got different where they come double from now is a little bit different and everything. So they're just little subtle things. And obviously, you know, one of the things that the Magic tried to do was get the ball to surge a little bit in the post. He was effective down on that left block a little bit, so they tried to use him. Those touches are now going back to Vooch. And Vooch, I think, will be a little bit more effective as well because of all the space around him, where those double teams are coming from. A lot longer runs for the opposition now.
And are you and I going to get our wish now when Vooch has it rolling? Are they going to give him the basketball?
It seems that way, doesn't it? You talked about the 20 shot attempts in the first game with the new lineup. He also got to the line 10 times. So that's
right.
That's, you know, there's 30 possessions there, so that's pretty good. We talk about it all the time, Dante. I think good things happen for the Magic when Vooch is involved in the offense. He's better defensively, he rebounds better, and he makes really good decisions when he's got the ball.
All right, good insight from JT. Hang in there. We got another couple minutes with you around the turn. The next up for the Orlando Magic, they will face the New York Knicks, and we want you to come to the Amway Center. Arrive early for Fam Fest on Church Street starting at 5 o'clock. We're going to have music, food, games, and more. Don't miss one of the biggest matchups of the season. Go to OrlandoMagic.com to get your tickets. Always a hostile environment. It's always fun when New York Knicks fans come to the building to watch their beloved Knicks, and they'll be in the arena on Wednesday. We need to be louder than them. We need to take down New York and keep this thing rolling. Make it two in a row. More with Jeff Turner when we return to Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, in just a moment.
Introducing an all-new Orlando Magic Fast Break Pass, the Papa John's Buzzer Beater. Sign up online, get texts, and buy last-minute Magic tickets at the best prices, all from your smartphone, all season long.
Blocked by Vucevic. Big right hand said nope. Knocked it away from him. Never got to the rim.
It's easy. It's free. It's pure magic. The Papa John's Buzzer Beater. The best pass for Orlando Magic basketball. Sign up now at OrlandoMagic.com/buzzerbeater.
93-74. Magic with a lead and the Rock. Terrence Ross, left elbow jumper on the way. Rattles it down and in. T. Ross, welcome to Orlando. 24 points of the night for Terrence Ross. Magic lead is 21, and that will bring Mike Budenholzer up off the bench.
Welcome back to Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center here on 96.9 The Game. Orlando next up against the New York Knicks. We hit the air at 6:30 on Wednesday night on Fox Sports Florida. That's where you'll see David Steele and this man, Jeff Turner, on the telecast as we rejoin JT and you hear Dennis Newman talking about Terrence Ross. I want to get into Aaron Gordon and get your thoughts in a minute on him at the four. But how critical was Terrence Ross? There was a point in that game against the Atlanta Hawks, three straight mid-range jumpers that he made. One or two of them were directly out of a timeout, so you know the play was called for him. To have a guy that kind of has a winning pedigree, 4.5 years in Toronto, put the ball in his hands, he's used to being in those situations, and he comes through for Orlando. How big is it for Frank Vogel to have a guy like that?
I think it's huge, Dante. You know, obviously we need shot makers. And, Terrence came in and really did some good things. I love his aggressiveness. I mean, he doesn't mind the big moment. He wants the ball in his hands. I love how hard he goes to the basket. He uses screens real well. He and Biz have a nice little thing going, maybe left over from their time in Toronto together. He really uses Biz's screens from the perimeter to get into that mid-range 15-foot area and was able to do that in the fourth quarter the other night.
You like those Bismack Biyombo screens. He frees his guy up. Now, how can he get one or two less illegal screens per game? You know how can he settle down a little?
I think, Dante, the more, first of all, I love the screens because he hits people, right?
Yes, right.
When you set a screen, your job is to get a piece of the guy you're screening. You got to hit him. And, like, Biz is not slipping screens. He is hitting somebody. And so I think if you're intentionally going out and trying to get a piece of guys, you're going to get called for a few offensive fouls. But I think the more and more you do it, I think that the officials kind of get used to it, that you're setting good hard screens, and they may let one or two get away. So I think it's consistency, and that's a big part of it.
Well, and he loves doing it, and that's part of the thing, too. Speaking with Jeff Turner from Fox Sports Florida, you and Brian Hill, I thought, brought up a great point on the telecast against the Hawks. Aaron Gordon, now that he's at the four, you made the point that rebounding is going to be key now. Only had three in the last game, but how important is that going to be for him now at that position to grab rebounds? And then Brian mentioned that offense comes a little easier now that he's at the four. He doesn't have to manufacture as much at the three. Can you just hit on those two points and explain what that means?
Well, I think the big thing, to Brian's point, you know, the manufacturing of his offense, you know, the one thing when Aaron was playing at the three, and I still believe that Aaron, through time, will get to where he has the ability to manufacture offense a little bit more. But at this stage in his career and his development, now he doesn't have to, you know, dribble the ball, spin and everything, looking to try to create something. If he has it, against bigger fours, you know, a little slower-footed guys, I think he can take it. He has that ability. But now, Aaron does a really good job, and we all know it. He's very exciting in the open court, playing at that four position, getting out, running, you know, being matched up now with a four who doesn't really maybe transition as well as a three or a two that would be matching up with him. Opportunities out there. One of the things Aaron did the other night that I thought was different for us was he actually ran the floor, much like Serge, Vooch, Biz do, and beat his man down and sealed in the paint and got some touches in the paint early. Okay. If he catches it 2 feet in the paint, he's very good in there. And then the last thing to your first point about the rebounding, I think Aaron, you know, he's averaging a little over four rebounds a game on the year. Last year when he was starting at that four spot, he averaged over eight, Dante, and I think that's probably where he needs to be. And a lot of that's going to come on the offensive glass. He is so quick. His second jump, you know, he could tip one and go and get another one very quick. He's very explosive. Great instinct to go get a basketball. I think without worrying about being that first guy back in transition as much, being in the four spot, maybe being around the rim a little bit more, those opportunities are going to be there for him, and he has to take advantage for our team to excel. Because, you know, rebounding, when you're playing small, you give up some rebounding. So Aaron's got to fill that void.
Well, that's going to be exciting to see how he continues to develop. And if he can be more of a focal point on both ends of the floor, I think everybody's happy with that. And last thing, as far as players go, Mario Hezonja, I know it was a tough game against Atlanta, 2 of 6 for 4 points. But he had a nice stretch, 3 or 4 games in a row. He's almost at 10 points a game in those outings. He said he feels the game is slowing down a little bit. Are you seeing that? Does he feel like does he look like he's not rushing things as much? And where have you seen him make the biggest strides the last few games?
Well, I think offensively, you know, he's knocked down a few shots. He's gotten into a rhythm a little bit. You can tell he's working a little bit. I think he's setting his feet a little bit better when he's coming off screens, not rushing things. But I think the biggest thing, and you know, I think, you know, Mario may not have been happy with his, you know, 2 of 6 the other night, but defensively he's picking it up now a little bit. He's flying around the floor. Right. I thought he had some deflections. He came from the weak side, knocked away a lob on one possession that the Hawks were trying to, you know, run a little backdoor play. Those things are starting to come along. And if you play defense on this team, then I think Coach Vogel's going to give you minutes. So, and then again, I think it's interesting. You know, we all kind of have always thought of Mario as a kind of a 2-3, right? That's what I think Coach Vogel has been saying. You know what? Trying to play him a little bit more at the three, and maybe even lean into where he switches on some of the smaller fours.
Wow.
And so even he now is getting a little bit of a mismatch at times, where he's more comfortable playing against maybe a opponent that's not as quick. So kudos to Coach Vogel. You know, I love the fact, Dante, that you know, we can say, and most people don't do this these days, is like, you know, we tried it this way, it wasn't working, we were wrong, you know?
Yeah, right.
This is a better way, this is what we see going forward, and this is what we're going to do. I love that, you know? Hey, it wasn't working, we were mistaken. It didn't work the other way, playing big. We tried it, now we're going to do this. So I think it's great.
No, you're right. And you could, the other alternative is you continue to force it. It wasn't working. You were 21 and 37 at one point. So let's punt here. Let's play the way that everyone else is playing. And that lends to what I think JT is going to be, has the chance to be a very exciting final 22 games here.
I do too, Dante. I like that the guys are having some success. And here's the thing, as I know, you know, like our listeners and everything, they're already thinking draft, and they're thinking about, we got to get a high draft pick and everything. What this team needs is success, and they need to develop a winning culture. And I think Coach Vogel believes that, Rob Hennigan believes that, and I just hope these guys keep pushing and competing like we've seen the last, certainly game and a half. I thought they slipped a little bit of that in the Portland game, but against Atlanta, that was a pretty competitive effort the whole way. So very impressed with that. I hope that continues.
Bottle that up and let's get it going again on Wednesday night and take down the New York Knicks. Do you prefer to beat the New York Knicks or the Miami Heat? Who is atop that list?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Right?
That's I'm going to go with the Heat, Dante. Okay. But the Knicks are a very, very close second.
I can imagine. Well, that'll be fun. We'll see you on Wednesday. All right, JT, thanks for joining us tonight.
All right, Dante.
All right, thanks. Jeff Turner, and that'll be our next telecast, Wednesday against the New York Knicks. I know you Knicks fans, you're coming in there, and that might be exactly what the Knicks need, to get out of New York for a couple of days and come on down to sunny Orlando, Florida, and take on the Magic. But let's make it a rude welcoming down here in City Beautiful, and keep this thing rolling. Let's make it two straight and take down the New York Knicks, who certainly aren't playing terrific basketball right now by any means. But this is if that Atlanta game is any indication of what we might be in for the final 22, and to JT's point, 100% agree, you need to win. You need to win as many of these 22 as possible. I'm done with the draft. I'm done playing the percentages. We need to win basketball games, and let's do it having fun and playing up-tempo like you did on Saturday night. That'll do it for Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Thanks to JT and Aaron Berlin. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.